This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. We're going to go right in with a call. You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, before you get started, this is Craig and Rifle, and I'd like to suggest a moment of silence for the death of net neutrality. And then after that moment, I'd like to hear your opinions on how it might affect our valley, especially those that get crappy service anyway, like from CenturyLink. So let me know when your moment of silence is up. I'll know when it's up, and I'll turn my stereo back on.
That's exactly how we were going to lead off.
Oh, I thought you might. I just thought I would. I was throwing the moment of silence first.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Man, he was talking through his voice transmuter.
Transmuter, yes.
A transmuter computer. Yes. So, gosh, let's dig into that. How do we think it's, I mean, is it going to really affect people who have, you know, are using the, shall we just say, the less peppy of internet carriers?
The answer is maybe.
Uh-huh.
So it really depends on how this, I don't know if a deregulation is the right way to look at it, but mm-hmm. I need to get my head back around net neutrality again. So the question becomes, for example, certain, like in Portugal, basically there's a ISP, an internet service provider, that basically says, well, you're going to pay us an additional $4.99, whatever the... It looks like euros, so that you can do messaging over your internet connection. So you can do Skype and WhatsApp and Hangouts and et cetera. And then you pay an additional $4.99 for your social media, and you pay an additional $4.99 for your video systems and so on and so forth. And so instead of being like, okay, you are purchasing a connection to the internet, and anything that's available on the internet that you can connect to that's routable, you have access to, which is how the open internet has been essentially since its inception, with the exception of walled gardens such as AOL and things like that in the early that were tested in the early 90s, where they kind of had their own little flavor of DNS and their own little flavor of the internet, all baked into one kind of thing, so that it was kind of a walled garden.
Got it.
So net neutrality makes it so that, or theoretically makes it so that, if it's routable, if you can get to it, you can get the content. Where without net neutrality, hypothetically speaking, at least in the States so far, it might get to the point where you pay for certain packages, so messaging package or a social media package or whatever, thing like that.
So that's kind of like an a la carte internet type of situation.
Which just seems completely crazy to me.
Yeah. But, I guess I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a second because, don't get me wrong. I'm completely in favor of net neutrality. I think most of the geek people that I know are. But technically, how is a la carte internet that you're describing different than metered connections? I mean, because, bottom line is if you only have a, 5 gig a month connection, that effectively limits. Bottom line is you're not going to be doing much streaming,
Yeah, Netflix movie and a little bit of light surfing in here at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just want to kind of throw that hypothetical question out there. I mean, how is it really different? I mean, companies have been, people bellyache about it being on a metered connection. And like for those of you out there listening that don't know what I'm talking about as far as a metered connection goes, around here, the only examples I really know of metered connections are satellite internet.
If you're using your phone as a hotspot.
Okay. All right.
So those are the two that are common. Those are the most common.
Because the data plan on your phone is metered. In other words, they're counting up the gigabytes as you use them. And as soon as you run out of gigabytes, you end up
paying more
money
or getting cut off.
Exactly.
Depending on how you've set that
up. So anyway, that's what a metered connection is. So, you know, it's, you know, and I'll be the first one to say that, you know, a metered connection is absolutely a horrible way to live. And I don't ever want to have to live that way again. I did for a period of time and I don't want to do it again. It's terrible.
I guess the other argument would be is other companies have put like a 1 terabyte limit on a cable connection from,
mm-hmm.
For you know, from one of the big cable providers.
See, I've heard of these things. Is that a thing? Is that mainly in the cities, or have you heard of it around here?
No, I've exceeded it.
You've exceeded it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
down. So there is a 1 terabyte data limit on a monthly Comcast.
Yes.
Contract.
Yeah. So okay. I pay an extra $50 a month, and I download 2 or 3 or 4 terabytes of data a month.
Okay. So okay, I remember you saying something about that one day, and I had kind of forgotten about it. And I've also heard people that live in the city complain about that because that's a thing there as well. Yeah. So
getting to a terabyte is, for a normal person, is not an easy feat.
Okay.
So, in most cases,
how did you do it? How did you get to a terabyte? Were you watching 4K action sports? Day in and day out.
That'll do it, yes.
Okay.
No, transferring files.
Okay.
So, then my online consumption, we don't have a 4K television yet, but our consumption for just HD content, mm-hmm. Is about 350 gigabytes a month.
Okay.
So,
got it. See, this is really interesting. I just observed like my own mental processes there where you mentioned transferring of files, and I went, oh, yeah, files.
Yeah, Linux ISOs and things
because,
like that.
Because, you know, that's what's funny is, I mean, it really shows that in my mind, my perception of the internet, you know, the way that I grasp the internet is as a media, you know, I perceive it as a media outlet or, you know, utility, I guess,
mm-hmm.
first. You know, which for a guy who actually does transfer files and, you know, stuff like that on occasion, this is pretty amazing, you know, because if somebody would ask me 10 years ago, I said, oh, yeah, it's a way to move data from one place to another, you know, and now I'm like, it's a way to watch TV.
Right.
So, you know, that's pretty interesting that, you know, I just kind of caught myself there. You know,
I mean, so. And when you go to a website, you are downloading essentially a file. And mm-hmm. then that file says, go and get all these other files and mm-hmm. then put it all together in a pretty
way. And then your device turns it into a picture that you can watch and, you know.
And streaming makes it, you know, blurs that line a little bit more because it's, you know, it's not necessarily ever technically a file. I mean, you could go, you know, from the camera,
mm-hmm.
be encoded, be sent to a server that dishes it out. And then that chunk of information gets, you know, sent out to all the computers, and then they decode it, put it up on the screen, and display it, and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never, you know, a permanent file. I mean, it exists as a cache in some instance as a file at some point.
Yeah,
but it never really exists as a file. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, we're kind of getting off the track a little bit. But so anyway, I was just reading an article about net neutrality right before the show. And one of the things that I didn't realize, did you realize that the FCC is no longer going to be a watchdog over the internet after, you know, as of today, that the FTC is now in charge of it. And, it's, which they're saying, you know, is it's good that somebody's watching it, but the problem is the FTC is completely overtaxed as far as their resources goes. So it says the FTC already oversees consumer protection and competition for the whole economy. This also means the agency is swamped. And because the FTC isn't focused exclusively on the telecommunications sector, it's unlikely the agency can deliver the same kind of scrutiny that the FCC would. So that's a little, you know, piece of it that I didn't really.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue to think about,
mm-hmm.
for that, certainly.
So it went from one kind of overutilized government agency to another like mega overutilized government.
I don't know, but I think people are probably more scared of the FTC than the FCC. So there is that.
I don't know. You see, I come from the era of Citizens Band Radio, and we lived in fear of the FCC. So, yeah. So, anyway.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your comments or questions about net neutrality, 963-2976.
Yeah, or anything else, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Yeah, so today was the day that technically internet providers could start charging Netflix, for instance, money on the fast lane.
Right.
And we got a call coming in.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. How's it going, Donna?
Pretty good. I thought I'd go.
Yeah, there's something.
Hearing feedback, are you?
There's something weird going on the board here. I'm not sure just what exactly.
Is that better?
Should I call back?
Oh, Matt.
I think that's better.
Matt fixed it.
I know the buttons to push.
It was
hang up on me?
It was Control Alt Delete. Can you not hear us?
I see. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, good. You scared us there for a minute. So.
I thought you were fixing it by hanging up. Anyway. So I am curious, well, a couple things. Have you heard about this website called The Chive?
Yes.
And what do you think of it?
It's not as good as The Onion.
Oh, okay. You know, I'm always looking for humor, right?
Yeah.
And so somebody had told me about The Chive, and, you know, it does have some funny stuff, but it also has some stuff that is, you know, a little rank. But,
okay, a little tawdry. Anyway. Is that a good word?
Yeah, a little tawdry. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. So okay. I'll try The Onion.
So it's basically a blog. It's a blog platform, though, isn't it? The Chive, right?
It seems to be a blog platform, but, you know, it just has off-the-wall stuff that is kind of funny to me. But I don't look at it every day. I've only looked at it a couple of times, but mm-hmm. I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, and, if nothing else, they've had an ingenious marketing strategy because the Keep Calm and Chive On shirts, you know, and I'm sure you've seen those, right? You know,
or I
Keep Calm and Fill in the Blank, you know. it's been co-opted for many different purposes. And, but anyway, that's where that all came from is Keep Calm and Chive On was the beginning. That's how that whole slogan and that whole shirt format with the little crown in the middle and everything.
I see.
Maybe that's a chive flower, I suppose would be more. But yeah, so you've been slumming around on the Chive a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit. Slumming around, that's a really good word for it. I like it.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I can't do that at work, but I can do that when I get home a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so, you know, you can't melt your mind with Reddit all the time, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You get to a point where you just can't handle the rapid fire environment of Reddit anymore. So,
I know.
Yeah. So what's your take on net neutrality? Are you feeling the pinch yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Not yet. I was going to mention about, did you see this article from about Google's Mark Risher tells us why everything we know about passwords is wrong, why adding letters and symbols isn't your friend?
Ooh.
I don't know. I haven't read it. I was wondering if you guys read it.
No, I have not. But that sounds like just exactly the kind of thing that we would talk about. That's so funny because I've actually got an article on the Verge site pulled up on my tabs, but it has to do with this new soundbar that Sonos come out with.
Right.
But it's a soundbar and so much more because it's got it's basically listening. It's always listening to you. So.
Like Alexa.
Exactly. They're thinking that if they can just repackage the spy device into a sound bar, people will put it in their living rooms and they can listen to them, you know?
Oh, that's, so. You know, it used to be that we had to get up and change channels and then they had the remote control and now it's like too much work for people to even push buttons.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to like command the sound bar, Alexa, mm-hmm. please change it to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We have really gotten lazy.
Well, you know what we're seeing is the early stages of the whole robot revolution. You know, because at a certain point the robots are just going to go, we are not taking it anymore. And all of a sudden your TV is going to start providing you with really emotionally damaging content. So
that's right. They'll make a movie out of it and call it Planet of the Robots.
Exactly. So nice. So, okay, I'm looking
that
up.
I didn't really have anything interesting to say.
It's always interesting talking to you, Donna.
Well, thanks. I'm going to listen to the rest of the show, but next week I would like to know about this password issue because, you know, I'm actually been thinking about creating a new base password with even more
bells and whistles.
Longer.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Even longer than it is right now, and I'm debating about how to do that so I can still remember. You know, I do have my little tricks.
Well, I think that's a great idea. We'll just designate next Monday as Password Monday. So we'll get on and we'll read off a list of like our listeners' favorite 20 passwords.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, tricks that people use, you know, first letter of a poem, you know, the first letter of every word in a poem or whatever it is that they use.
Oh, there you go.
Throw in the,
So what's your favorite poem, Donna? I'm just kidding.
I couldn't even.
It's not the Paul Revere one, is it? No, just kidding.
No, but anyway.
All right.
So I'm going to listen to the rest of the show and let other people call in.
Cool.
I just wanted to say hey.
All right. Thanks for calling. Take care.
Okay,
bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Wow, that was so quick. 2976.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention surveillance self-defense from the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Okay.
So it can be accessed at ssd.eff.org.
Wow. Man, that's a really geeky web address.
But I think if you Google surveillance self-defense, it's probably the first one that comes up. Anyway, there's some interesting information in there about passwords and passphrases and some good literature there for... you know, maintaining your privacy.
Got it.
Within the current confines of Google and Apple and everyone else.
Yeah. So how many, like, of the major websites do you know that will still allow a 7-character password?
I don't think any. I can't think of any.
Yeah. I just had.
I have the opposite problem. I get perturbed when they don't have, when they only allow, like, 27 or 32 digits.
Got it.
In their password.
Yeah.
So I have the, I'm at the other end of the spectrum where it's like, no, your 128 character password is too long. Will you please make it like 32 characters?
Sure. You know, I think it's important to, cause I, the reason I asked that is cause I had a client, get hacked, on a Yahoo Mail account and they had a 7-character password, which, you know, the first thing I will do when somebody tells me they have a 7-character password is I will argue with them.
Yes.
About it. Because I, as far as I know, so I don't know whether it's a legacy password, like an old password that they didn't force them to change or whatever. But anyway, it did get hacked, that password. And I verified that that is the, you know, that it's a 7-character password. And so if there's anybody out there that has sites that still allow 7-character passwords, and like I was saying, it was a pretty complex password. You know, it, it had all of the bells and whistles, you know, as far as upper, lowercase numbers, special characters. So the bottom line is a 7-character password is just not any kind of a match for the password cracking technology anymore.
Well, so, yeah, because what'll happen is that somebody will get the hat, you know, you get an MD5 hash of the password or maybe a bigger one, but you can download those lists online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not.
So you just cross-reference the MD5 hash against and
a known list.
It goes ahead and reveals the...
Right, and then so the hash matches that password. So
got
they
it.
Have a list of that. They're called rainbow tables.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can search through that through like a as a database.
Uh-huh.
So you type in your password, and it has the you know, hashes.
You can even write a program that loads that database as a, you know, as a back end and just do it.
Yeah, so what they could do is if they... If their account, well, so like if the Yahoo, if somebody got the list of all the hashes for the passwords, and they figured out what the hash was, or if it's an old one that wasn't hashed and salted, then they run the they just run across that list mm-hmm. and go, oh, that's the password. Here it is. It's only 7 characters. Mm-hmm. To download the 8-character list for all MD5 passwords, it's like 619 gigs.
Okay. That's nothing, you know?
Yeah. You can do it in a day.
I mean, that will not kill your 1 terabyte data cap.
No.
You know? Nowhere close.
So then you have all the hashes for all your 8-character and less passwords. Yeah.
See, I like my hashes salted and peppered. So
yes.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, a salt means that it's like there's a random string of characters put either before or after the password before it's hashed, so that there's a known salt, and then the outcome of the hash is different than what it would be if it was just the password.
Okay. Well, it's obvious to me that a lot of other seasoning ingredients are going to get added before this whole battle's over. So
yep.
Yeah. So so I'm kind of rethinking the retention of my 8-character passwords, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
And going, I think I'm going to need to kick it up a notch, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite to Matt McBrayer land, but, you know, it's
a password manager is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
I will have to say.
Unless you lose the master password for your password manager.
And then you're completely... But yeah. But then you're down to, you know, 3 passwords. Yeah. One to log into your computer, you know, maybe one for your router, and one to log into your password manager. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it really significantly reduces the
mm-hmm.
complexity of the number of passwords you have to remember.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I love the keychain technology in the Mac. You know,
yeah, it's that very thing similar
saves
to that.
My life all the time, and it saves my life with customers too. You know, because they're like, I can't remember my.
I do that
password
for. You know your password to log into your computer. Oh, great, great. Let's go look in the keychain and see if we can recover that password from the keychain.
Exactly. So, yeah. Well, it's a bold frontier out there, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if any of the ISPs make a change. You know. Go to this a la carte kind of thing like they did in Portugal, or or if they do like internet fast lanes where it's like, oh, you want Netflix, so you're gonna pay Netflix your, you know, the $12.99 or $15.99 for the streaming service, and you're gonna pay your ISP you know, some premium to have that play properly at 4K or something like that.
Got it.
So
yeah,
that's the other option, is fast lanes.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that, you know, our listeners, we could all be seeing prices going up if we're going to be using those types of services.
Or price structures, you know, changing anyway. Yeah.
And if we want to just continue to deal in boring little files, then the price probably won't change a whole lot, because files are just, face it, just, they're just not sexy. So it's at least to guy, you know, at least except for guys like us. So it's ISOs and.
Yeah. Well, I was reading through the Wikipedia article on net neutrality, and they're talking about dumb pipes. I guess that's where I'm a proponent of.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you have an internet connection. Mm-hmm. You can get to the internet.
I think we should come out with a bumper sticker that says, I love dumb pipes.
I like
it. And, you know, let the perverts on the road try to figure out just, you know, what kind of innuendo is that? Yeah. I mean, what does that mean? You know?
Have a little link to the net neutrality somewhere, on just a little tiny thing so you can barely read it.
Got a little picture of a pipe going, duh. I love dumb pipes. I think let's get them made up. And,
all right.
And then all of our Geek Speak listeners will be able to identify the listeners on the road as we see them.
All right.
It'll become a movement. So very nice. I love dumb pipes. I'm going to my favorite bumper sticker creation site right now. So
awesome.
Dumb pipes. So what else is going on out there? We're just running out this last half minute on the clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to go look, but I didn't have a lot of time to do prep today.
So what do you think about Kim Jong-un taking a selfie of himself in Singapore? I got to admit, he looks pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this new remade Kim Jong-un is really working for him. So it's
now we can just get some decent policy there and we'll be in a much better place.
Yeah, if he just stopped killing his citizens, everything would be great. So I don't mean to get political or anything, but you know, I'm just patently against the killing of innocent citizens.
Yes,
that's all. Just people should know that about me.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
and we'll come up with a bunch of password and passphrase information for next week. We'll do some research for you.
Tune in to find out what your next password could be.
Yeah.
So
have a great week, everyone.
Until then, don't touch your knob.